Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
The checkered flag ends the race, but it's only the start of the conversation. Michelin post-race tag on IMSAradio.com. Have your say. Ask the experts. Make your point. Michelin post-race tag. The end of the race is only the beginning.
IMSA Sports Car Weekend, Road America. Some hoodoo's broken. The curse continues though for Wayne Taylor Racing at Road America. Remarkably, they still haven't been able to get a victory. Shay Adam and Jeremy Shaw join me, John Hindall, for Michelin Post Race Tech in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. What a weekend, not just that race, what a weekend. Michelin Pilot Challenge was an absolute cracker. I can still hear the sounds of celebration from the victory lane area. We'll keep our ears on that just in case we can get some interviews from there as well. Well, Jeremy, let's start in the time-honoured fashion. You mentioned the points at the top of the field where it is all beginning to get a little closer for DPI in the overall battle for the championship. A little bit of team orders from Acura at the end there, which just allowed the Konica and Minolta team to steer a wee bit further ahead. Jeremy Shaw.
Yes, I think so, John. I think that's probably what occurred there, because the number 60 car was looking on course to take fourth position ahead of the number 10. But look, in the big picture, Acura wants another championship. They'll lose some more ground. They came into this weekend in the Manufacturers' Championship 35 points behind Cadillac. They will lose ground again here because the Mazda finished ahead as well of the Acura. So it's not been a good day. In fact, for the Manufacturers' Championship, it didn't make any difference at all. But for the Drivers' Championship, that could be significant, and the Teams' Championship also, because the lead for Ricky Taylor and Philip Albuquerque in that Konica Minolta Acura team coming into this race was 81 points, and it's now 41. So it's been halved from first to second. So then 20 points. 2 points at old money could be very, very significant come the end of the season.
As far as the other classes are concerned, I mean, great racing, great strategy. We talked about it in a Porsche Keys to Race about strategy. Fuel save sometimes works, sometimes doesn't. It was a lap or two too far for Meyer Shank Racing, Jeremy, but the WeatherTech Porsche team made it work. That was an extended stint at the end. Wicker Bill tweeting in at IMSA Radio saying, my team or moment of the race would be for the WeatherTech team. Guys and girls, great strategy. Don't think anybody saw that coming. They had a good car. They've had a good car for the last couple of races. Sometimes they haven't been able to exploit it. Cooper did what he needed to do early on in the race, handed it over to Matty Campbell. But that last stint, Jeremy, I think took the guys at Corvette by surprise, because it was a bit longer, quite a bit longer than we thought they could go.
Yeah. They came in for that final stop. It was a lap after the number four car, so it was only a lap difference there. They went to what, 29 laps, I guess that was that stint to get to the end. The number four car came in, one lap before it, and they made another splash with about half an hour remaining. So interesting, certainly that it should pan out that way. And number four car obviously realised they weren't going to make it. So, came in and took on fuel. So it's a very interesting race. It's one of those races you kind of, with so much going on, you have to kind of look back and figure out exactly what happened to enable that team to come out in front. But look, you know, they got onto the same schedule as the Corvettes during those caution periods. And Matty Campbell, I mean, gosh, he's got to love this track, hasn't he? 2 years ago, he won the GTD category with Zach Robichaud on the Pfaff Motorsports team, and that team went on to win again today. And Matty Campbell switches across the GTLM car and wins again.
Yeah, well, he's rather good. You don't get
he's
to be
yes,
you don't
useful,
get to be a Porsche
he?
Junior driver, do you? Without without having a bit of talent, they've got a. In fairness, Porsche Motorsport themselves have a bit of form in spotting the good ones and bringing them through. Shea's got some news for us. Shea, what do you have?
Find this hard to believe or not, it's Ryan Dial's first IMSA win at Road America.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was second here back in 2012, but has never been to the top step of the podium in IMSA competition. If we flip over to John Bennett, this is his third win at Road America, all in three different classes.
Oh, good.
He won here back in 2012. That was in the PC class, but he was not driving with Colin Brown at that time. He won it overall with Colin in 2018 and now has an LMP3 win as well.
Nice.
And Cooper McNeil last won here in 2012, the first year that he went on to win the ALMS championship. And since Jeremy's already
class,
talked about...
In what class was that?
GTC.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
That was sharing, I think that year was with Lee Keane, I want to say. I was stretching the brain way back on that one.
Okay.
But since Jeremy's already mentioned Zach Robichaud and Matt Campbell getting the win the last time that Pfaff raced here in 2019, Lawrence Vantour has been very close to a win here, but not since his first try. Back in 2017, he came his first year as a Porsche factory driver. He finished second. Since then,
Looks
he hasn't
it.
Seen the podium at Road America. So this is a definite sweet day for him.
Yeah, he loves it here. Good result for Ryan Dial. Good to see him back in the car. And all right, eased off towards the end there. That might have been either fuel or traffic related to Jeremy. But that does everybody good. It does Ryan good. It does the team good. That is just a good news story all around for that team and for Ryan Dial.
Very much so. And Dwight Merrin did a really nice job in
he
his
did.
First stint. He got to second place at the start, losing ground to Ben Keating, certainly, but he kept Stephen Thomas behind him for quite a long way and turned some good lap times in there as well. So very encouraging for Dwight. He just continues to get more comfortable in these cars, and particularly with that team going to Le Mans next week as well. So that's very, very good news. Carl Tilley not here with the team this weekend. He's making his NASCAR Cup debut at Watkins Glen. I don't know how that went. I presume that race is over by now. But it's certainly been a great result for that team. And they've been knocking there on the door for a while and well-deserved.
Michael Kolb has asked about the Porsche number 79. How long was that last stint? Now, I've got it as 118, but that will include the slowdown lap as well. But it was well over an hour, Jeremy, wasn't it, for Matt Campbell at the end?
Yeah, I don't think I made a note of actually of what time it was when the pits.
I can see when...
But I seem to remember it was an hour to go.
An hour and it was over an hour. It's an hour and 17 and counting now. So and it's still counting on the Alcamel screen. So how long has the race been finished? Take that off, Michael, and you can. Well, so it's an hour and 3 minutes is what Shea is telling us. I forgot there was various things I could do with that column on there. Okay. Still, good job for them and great for them going to Le Mans. I'll say this same about Dwight Merriman and one or two other people, Shea. Carol Brink crossing Monterey asking how we think the IMSA teams and drivers will do at Le Mans this year. Well, some of them are going there after this race today, Shea, with a bit of momentum. And that's a great way to go to Lasart.
It really is. And when you think about the year that Matt Campbell has had in the U.S., the win at Sebring and now the win at Road America versus the year that he's had in Europe, i.e. not good at all in the WEC, two DNFs to come in to date. This is what you remember, not the DNFs to begin the year. So this is the pickup point that you need. But for teams like...
And driving a GT Le Mans car here as well before he goes to Le Mans, albeit he's not driving the WeatherTech car, but he is in another Porsche at Le Mans. And, you know, and that's another strong Porsche at Le Mans. You want the big more. People talk about that in sports, the big more, momentum. And he's got that. And so have one or two other people, including, you know, Ryan DL.
Yeah, correct. And the other thing learned from Corvette racing today in particular, the BOP for this race is not dissimilar to what they're going to be running at Le Mans. Oh. They're 14 kilos lighter at Le Mans. They have a much smaller restrictor. They're 42.7 millimeters there versus 44.3. So that's a big difference in the straw that you're breathing through. Yeah. But 1 liter difference in fuel. They learned a lot today. They can apply that next week in France.
That's a fair point. And they are using the same tyre compounds now as well.
Yep.
Actually. So that's something that they've struggled with in the past. And it is the first time that the C8R is going to Le Mans. They've got the test day next week, which we'll be watching very carefully and covering as well. Jeremy, what were the other points? We didn't get through all the rest of the points, I don't think. Where did we get through?
Yeah, I think we can't remember. But in LFP2, Ben Keating and Mikkel Jensen came in here with a 35-point edge. That'll be extended just a little bit because they finished the number 52 car, finished ahead of the number 11 of Stephen Thomas. But no change in the top three positions. Ben Keating and Mikkel Jensen continue to lead. Stephen Thomas, Tristan Nunez in second place. John Ferrano and Gabby Aubrey in third. Of course, the Era Motorsport team, they missed the most recent race, so are not really going for the overall championship. In LMP3, lead has been extended just a little bit for... Actually, no, it hasn't. It's been cut quite dramatically between... Gar Robinson still leads. He's now got 1,800 points. Now 50 points ahead of Jonathan Bennett and Colin Brown, who today scored their second win of the season to add to the win earlier at Sebring. The gap before this weekend was just under 100 points. It's now 50. So again, that has been halved in LMP3. We did talk about GTLM. In GTD, with all sorts of shuffling around here, Bill Oblin and Robbie Foley, with a second place finish today, will move into the championship lead, I reckon, on 19.32, 20 points ahead of the erstwhile leaders, Roman De Angelis and Ross Gunn. Up into third position from fourth will be Zach Robichon and Laurens Vanthoor on 18.30. And then Brian Sellers and Madison Snow from seventh today will be on 18.06. So that was a shuffling around in there. In the Sprint Cup Championship, the Heart of Racing team will continue to lead on 16.90. They've still got a pretty handy margin there in the Sprint Cup Championship. 16.90 then for Hard Racing Team Aston Martin. Up into second place, though, from fifth will be Turner Motorsport BMW, Robbie Foley and Bill Oblin on 14.90, so 200 points behind. They will be 3 points ahead of a tie between the two Lexuses, 12 and 14, both on 14.87. And then Paul Miller Racing on 14.38. So very, very close for second place in the championship in WeatherTech Sprint Cup.
Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it? It's a month before we're racing again, and that'll be at WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca, the Hyundai Monterey Sports Car Championship, September 10th to 12th. The main race, 2 hours 40 minutes again. Another great track. I do like the race circuit that we've been on this weekend, and not just for the big cars. A lot of people saying how much they enjoyed the support series share, and once again we were privileged to call the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 two races. First race was pretty bonkersly good. The second one was off the scale again. And, you know, IMSA have got a really good package that they bring. And it's no wonder that there was a decent crowd there again this weekend. Porsches were interesting. Lamborghinis always look and sound phenomenal. And Jeremy, you and Brian did those. I mean, those cars are wicked quick around Road America. What were they pulling? 175, 180 mile an hour into turn one or something like that? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is pretty impressive speeds by those cars, and there was some good racing there as well. So yes, it's been a great race weekend of racing all the way around, and thankfully, finally, we've got a full race in without any weather interruptions. Just perhaps, perhaps the rain will be starting fairly soon, but it did stay off, and that's it. That's, you know, that's great news for everybody here, and hopefully, you know, the teams might have to be packing up in the rain, but that's a lot better than having the race cut short, as it has been for each of our last two races.
Depends if you're a driver or the trucker who's got to pack up, Jeremy, to be honest. Mm, if you're the trucker, right, you want to dry until you've got that easy up-down. Nothing worse than trying to fold up an awning in the rain. Just to finish off the point that Carol was asking about Le Mans, as we start our, amazingly enough, we start our Le Mans coverage a week today. We've got a couple of teams where we're not expecting to see them share. Rissi Competizione are at Le Mans, but not running a Ferrari, which is going to scramble my brain, for example. But there's a lot of drivers going to Le Mans, whether they're from IMSA or other places, who you sort of look at them and go, hang on, why are they there? But, you know, some of the IMSA drivers are looking to put themselves in a position for a next-generation prototype drive.
Oh, very much so. And I believe it's only three drivers in the DPI category as it ran today that do not have Le Mans drives.
Really?
For Rissi, just to add this to your plate, it's Oliver Jarvis and Felipe Nasr teamed together to drive for Rissi. So that's going to take more getting used to as well. But no, it's a very big IMSA presence at Le Mans, and we should be getting a couple of winners, I would hope, across the various categories.
Yeah, and Le Mans, Jeremy, often a place where announcements are made. We're still waiting to find out which chassis company the GM deal will go to. We think they're probably going to be sharing Dallara with BMW. That is rumoured to be announced. Alpine have got an announcement to come as well. French company, big French race. We might, by the time we reconvene for the Hyundai Monterey Sports Car Championship, have a little more clarity about the brands we're going to see come 2023 in the new global prototype category in IMSA.
Indeed so, and yeah, and which team has Rissi Competizione been associated with now for many, many years? You just mentioned it.
That might be Ferrari.
Right, and what are they not committed to yet?
Well,
is that a possibility? I mean, that's adding, you know, two and two together and come up with probably 18.
Well, yeah, they've committed to an LMH global prototype, and they say it will be a bespoke prototype. That's what Ferrari have said. What they haven't said is where they're going to run it and who might run it. Le Mans, WEC, almost certainly. But if they can get one of those at Sebring and Daytona and IMSA, It's been a happy hunting ground for them in the past, hasn't it, Jeremy? And they've got a lot of history over here. And Ferrari do like a bit of history.
Well, I mean, they sell an awful lot of cars over here. How many Ferrari Challenge cars are they running at the moment? Some ridiculous number.
Typically 50.
Exactly, and including a whole bunch of spare cars in there. I mean, most of the teams carry at least two or three spare cars around with them at each of the races. It's absolutely amazing. So, you know, this is a huge market for Ferrari. There's no getting away from that.
Well, Jeremy, they do limit it to one spare car per driver per weekend. So Ferrari Challenge is fair at that sense.
Yeah, hang on, though. There's teams running four drivers and five drivers, though.
Eight, nine, ten.
And guess what? Rissi Competizione is one of those teams, as is Riley. They're another one of those teams. Yeah. IMSA has a presence in Ferrari Challenge.
When we reconvene then at Hyundai, Hyundai for the Monterey Sports Car Championship, at Monterey for the Hyundai Sports Car Championship, let's get that the right way around. The teams will have had, I think, a fairly welcome week off, those that aren't going to Le Mans, Jeremy. But from then on, you know, from September through to November, it's big races and big points coming thick and fast. And the championship will be, I know it's obvious, the championship will be decided. But, you know, tiny little things could decide the championship. It's really now down to the money laps, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's getting down to you're absolutely right. It is, you know, with the Willset Raceway and then Long Beach just, you know, separated by one off weekend, and then the all GT weekend at VIR. Brotax won't be there, of course, and then that month-long gap before the Petit Le Mans, which is now in November, with the changes that are taking place this season. I kind of like that, the fact that, you know, it's a long season. It doesn't leave much, though, does it, between that finale at Road Atlanta and reconvening at the Rolex 24 again for 2022.
Yeah, and indeed, I'm hearing that one of the things that's been proposed for the end of 22 into 23 is that there might be an additional race for the LMDH cars at the end of the 22 season to give them an opportunity, a competitive opportunity, much as we had the sports car Encore at Sebring when we changed over to Michelin tyres. And actually, I don't think that's a bad idea because, yeah, all right, you can go to the Raw, but starting off your season in 2023 with the Rolex 24 at Daytona with no competitive miles under your wheels, you can test as much as you want, but it's not the same as racing, Jeremy. Ask Audi. They found that out to their cost 1 year at Le Mans.
Very much so, and I think it'd be a great addition. I'm sure it'd be welcomed by the manufacturer teams. Privateers, perhaps not so much, but I think it makes a lot of sense for a lot of reasons.
Do you think that there were no surprises, Jeremy, were there, Shea? In the calendar for next year that John Doonan announced?
Surprises? No. Pleasantries? Motorsports back?
Yeah. Well, let's hope.
It was back this year.
A few tweaks.
It's a traditional schedule, isn't it?
Yeah.
For next year. The only change is now that World Tech Raceway and Mid-Ohio are both, you know, earlier season races. That hasn't been the case for a while, has it?
Yeah. When's Long Beach, though? Means you can do the California swing, doesn't it?
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Was that the same as it was a couple of years ago now? I forget.
No, it is. It is. You're right on that, Jeremy. The big thing is that our last race before Petit Le Mans VIR is the final weekend of August, which means that we then get a month off before going to Moto Petit Le Mans. So the season is actually done fairly early. We're done the 1st of October.
Yeah, I think when you go into a big race, though, like Petit Le Mans, having a month to prepare yourself is not the worst thing. Because you don't want to be going there. I mean, we've got the same this year, October into November. It'll be September into October next year. It's a 10-hour race, but that's a hard 10-hour race. And it also gives teams maybe who are doing other things the opportunity to come and do a wild card. As we've seen in the past, look what Penske did a few years ago before they came in for Acura.
Good point.
I do think that's a smart thing to do. And we might even get a few European teams coming over. I do think, by the way, if IMSA are smart, they will open up the LMDH race, quote unquote, as a, you know, non-championship, whatever it is, event. If they're smart, they'll open that up to LMH cars as well. The global prototypes, because I think you will get some of the European guys coming over to do that. If you did that at Sebring, the end of the year, it's like an extended test, isn't it, Jeremy? When we know, if you want to test properly, go to Sebring. Again, ask Audi. That's where they always used to go. Peugeot would go there as well. I think it's looking good. I think what John Doonan announced on Friday evening shows a steady increase in the numbers for what we do. The TV package still to be announced with NBC for next year in terms of what goes where and when. Hopefully, I think for our US listeners, they would like to have a few fewer tape-delayed races and actually see a few more races live, whether that's on NBCSN or CNBC. I don't think that is so important. But we've had a few tape delayed races this year just because of the congestion of the schedule.
Yeah, and to be honest, John, the easiest way to clear that, even if you can't get the races live on TV, is just take the geo block off and allow people to watch it online for free at the same time. It does drop your then late to live numbers, but that's the compromise that you get to keep your fans happy. And in this day and age, most series are doing the online thing. So there are other options, and we do have the announcement that the beginning and end of the Rolex 24 will be on big NBC. So that's exciting.
Back on big NBC network again. NBC aren't keen on having streaming, though, if it isn't theirs. And if it's theirs, it's behind a paywall on one of their systems. And, you know, it's a different world nowadays for TV contracts. But I take all your points. Jeremy, obviously, you know, you are based in the States, and it's sometimes quite frustrating. I know for people, it's one of the things that we get fans asking us about probably the most, about how they can watch it and when they can watch it in the US, bizarrely. It's not such an issue in Europe and in the UK.
No, that's exactly right, and yeah, it is an issue. You want to get the racing out to the fans to get them excited, and these days everything is immediate. And whereas in the past having races on tape delay really wasn't an issue, this day and age it's often difficult to steer clear as a result if you're going to watch it 2 or 3 hours later. I rarely get up first thing in the morning. I want to watch it. As live for me,
yeah.
But
yeah,
it's difficult to steer clear of the results. Just back to what you're saying about the schedule, the fact that we've got that month before Petit Le Mans next year also means that we have a longer period before reconvening Daytona. And again, it just allows teams a more preparation time to get ready for that LMDH the following year, and perhaps that additional non-championship race in there towards the end of the year.
Yeah. I find the only way I can stay away from results, by the way, is literally not to pick my phone up. I can't say I'll just not look at such and such a stream. You just can't do it. And it's if I'm trying to stay away from soccer scores and things like that when I'm working, and I've got TweetDeck open all the time, obviously, for what's coming through to at IMSA Radio or at RSL_studio when we're doing the rest of the world, not seeing stuff is almost impossible. You're spot on, Jeremy. It is very difficult. Some quick final thoughts then, as we look forward to September the 10th to 12th, which is the Monterey Sports Car Championship. Shea, what championships have we got there? There's a decent support run. No Porsches, of course, because they're running their own event that weekend at the Porsche Together Festival at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. But what is there? WeatherTech and Michelin Pilot Challenge. Mazda are there for sure, the Idemitsu Championship.
Well, let me put it to you this way, John. Everything under the IMSA banner, except for the IMSA Prototype Challenge, is racing that weekend somewhere.
Right.
The Porsches are at Indy. Ferrari Challenge is at Road America. The MX-5 Cup and Super Trofeo are with us, which is Pilot Challenge. And for WeatherTech, it is DPI, LMP2, GTLM, and GTD. We do not see our LMP3 competitors again until Motul Petit Le Mans.
Right, okay. So that's going to be a fairly, you know, easy weekend then, isn't it? The rises and falls of the 2.238 miles and 11 corners of the WeatherTech Laguna Seca Raceway is our next race in the IMSA Championship here on RST, September 10th to 12th. Keep an eye open for our broadcast schedule. But we'll finish off tonight by reminding you that we are back next weekend on RS1, which becomes Haggerty Radio Le Mans for that week, as we have exclusive coverage of the Le Mans test day. Morning and afternoon in the evening session. Special programmes on Monday through Tuesday, and then our live coverage on Wednesday. The only broadcaster bringing you full live coverage of every Le Mans 24-hour session. No one else doing that. It's all live and free without any blocks or breaks. And our Haggerty Radio Le Mans previews are tomorrow, Monday and Tuesday, 8 o'clock UK. That's 3 o'clock Eastern. Jeremy Shaw, Shea Adam, me, John Hindorf, along with Tim Gray. Kerry Cobb was involved at the weekend as well. Eve Hewitt, our responsible adult, and our team's trackside and in Charlotte. Thanks for joining us at Road America. Le Mans starts in a week's time. See you then. Bye-bye.
This This program is a radio show limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.